Y'all might only know us for this podcast, but Dangerous Creatives has been offering business coaching to photographers, creatives, and service providers for years now. And we have programs designed for you at each different, unique place in your business, whether you're just at the beginning, scaling to your first 100K, growing from 100K up into starting multiple income streams and building a team. Or if you are 300K plus and are ready for one-on-one consulting, we have so many different points, touch points that we have with business owners all over the world. And one of our most popular programs is the Road to 100K Mastermind. Our experienced coaches help each member design the strategy, the pricing, and the offers that align with your goals. This is no more cut and dry, one size fits all education. This is very specific business coaching that helps you hit your goals in the way that really works for you. So get the tools and, more importantly, the implementation and accountability to actually hit those goals. And this group, guys, it's so fun and it's so supportive. And the community really helps people excel and hit the goals way faster than they would on their own. We have breakout groups for wedding photographers, portrait photographers, service providers like social media experts, coaches, tattoo artists, health, beauty, wellness. And we have expert coaches in several different focus areas to help support you towards your goals. And our programs have some of the highest rates of results out there. So if you're interested in hopping in, you can check out all the information or book a discovery call at dangerschool.com/mastermind. Well, hey everyone, and welcome back to the Dangerous Creatives Podcast. I'm your host, Kristen Sweeting, and today we have the lovely Renee Bowen with us. She not only is a photographer, has been in business for 20 plus years, but is also a coach, has training with all kinds of things from hypnosis to neuroencoding. We're going to talk a lot about the subconscious, unconscious mind today and the things that maybe are making us run our life, make decisions we're not even fully aware of as awake, alive people, right? So, Renee, I'm so excited to dive into this with you and kind of like talk about mindset, talk about how we can thrive in our lives and businesses from the inside out. So, thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me. I love talking about this stuff, so I'm really excited.
Well, can you give us just a little bit more of an intro to you and how your career has taken you to where you are now?
Yeah, so I have been a photographer for many moons. I was shooting film like when it was the only option. So, we didn't have anything else. And my dad's a photographer, but I never really thought like it would be a career for me or anything like that, I got a degree in psychology and, I really loved that whole world and had every intention to continue in that and get my master's. And then I ended up moving to LA when I was 25. And I went to school for massage therapy. I was interested in all of these different like modalities. And I fell back into photography when I started having kids because I had three kids under the age of two, so it was a little crazy for a little while in my house. I have twins, and my oldest son has autism, and so like he didn't speak until he was almost five. So I was always with a camera in his face, like just constantly, trying to figure out what was going on in there. And he was like my first muse. I always say that. And so I kind of fell into photography, and all of a sudden people were like, "Oh my gosh, you should, could you take pictures of my kids and all of these kind of things, right?" And I was like, I don't really know how to run a business. I don't really know how to do any of that stuff. But okay, I'll try. And so I fell into that, and I decided in 2007 that I wanted to do seniors. Like I wanted to focus on high school seniors because I was shooting families. I had done some events, I had done some weddings, and those were all fun, but nothing was like super passionate for me. And I had always wanted to work with teenagers back when I was going to do psychology. That was the plan. So I was like, oh, I think it'd be really cool to bring that because here in SoCal, nobody was doing it at the time. Like here we have this gorgeous year-round weather, and nobody around me was doing any of this like editorial, you know, fashion, makeup, hair. I was like, oh my gosh, we totally have to do this here. So that's basically what I did. I kind of created this little niche for myself, and I was always shooting headshots too, because my husband's an actor. So I kind of like, you know, didn't have a choice, but I love shooting headshots. They're still my favorite. So basically that's what I still do. I still, you know, focus on high school seniors mainly, and headshots and branding. And now I have this other side of my business with coaching. It's basically going back to my first love of psychology. I went back and got certified in all kinds of things because I just geek out on the brain, neuroscience, and all of the things that make us tick. And I had all these, you know, photographers coming to me for business coaching, but really they just needed to kind of get out of here, as you know. So I was like, all right, we're gonna meld these two things together. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. But yeah, I run two sides of the business.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah, I mean, I think you'll probably speak more to this too, but the amount of times it's not just like a strategy, not just a pricing change. There's something going on that's holding us back in our brain, some belief from childhood, something kind of deeper that gets in there and keeps us from showing up to do the stuff we need to do. Because I always say too, I'm like, making $1 million is not that difficult. And like, why would we, you know, it's not that difficult on paper, but we would all be doing it if it was not mm-hmm. difficult in our head, you know?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, we're all programmed. I always say that we're just programmed against our will as kids, you know, and then a lot of us have to spend some time undoing those things. And it's about being intentional, basically about being intentional with it. And I do believe that we are drawn to this like wild entrepreneurial work for yourself life. I feel like nothing happens by accident. And if you're drawn to it, it probably means you got some stuff to work out. So might as well work it out.
I love that. Yeah. Can you kind of give us a snapshot of what you mean when you say there's things going on under the surface, or like our mindset is holding us back? Like, what does that look like?
Oh, so much, really. I mean, you know, our unconscious mind, I really believe and have been affirmed over the years with all the training that I've done, right? In, you know, your unconscious mind basically runs like 95% of the show, you know, and most of us sort of live hypnotically, right? We just sort of like, basically before the age of 7, that's really the deal, is that before the age of 7, your unconscious, its job is just to soak in all the information, all the data, all the things. But unfortunately, it sucks in a lot of stuff that's probably not ideal to keep carrying around. And it's very, you know, it just takes it all in. And so it's some things, and some people have really, really hard things that happened before that age. But it could also just be, you know, inferring that something was happening. Like, right. Like, so I'm Gen X, like, you know, I had a very feral childhood, you know, and I always say that, especially my generation, we were sort of left to like kind of fend for ourselves. And so a lot of it is we just kind of sucked in some programming and information that doesn't really serve us anymore. And that becomes this like upper limit. And I, you know, like Gay Hendricks talks a lot about that in his book, the Big Leap, and talks about how your unconscious mind, its only job is to keep you safe and alive. Like that's what it's supposed to do. And so, you know, good job, unconscious mind. Thanks for keeping me alive. But I want these other things in life, right? I want a bigger business, or I want to be, you know, more fulfilled in my relationships, or whatever it could be. And you know, whenever we kind of go outside of that comfort zone, right, we reach that ceiling, that upper limit, that's when the self-sabotage kicks in, because that's just your unconscious mind popping up to say hello, saying, oh, that's not safe. Like, that's not what we talked about. That's not what we do. So anything, you know, that is outside of that realm of comfort that we do on the daily is perceived by our unconscious mind as dangerous, as unsafe. And so then it's up to us as adults to rewire that. But the cool thing is that we can. So yeah.
Totally. That's one of the reasons this podcast is named the Dangerous Creatives Podcast. Because, yeah, you're right. There, we all have this comfort zone, this place that feels really comfortable for us. And have you ever been in the place too where you're like, I'm just posting on social media. Why is my body reacting like I'm being chased by tigers or something? You know, like
Absolutely.
physical threat.
Seriously. And it can show up like that all the time. I mean, I hear that from creatives all the time, especially, right? Because as creatives, as you know, and the work that you do and the people you speak to daily, you know, we have like these really amazing, spicy brains. And, you know, left unchecked, they will just run amok with all kinds of stuff. So that's why I do what I do too, is to sort of meld the two and be like, yeah, you can be amazing. You can allow that creativity to flow. And you can also decide the direction you want it to go in and be really dangerous in a good way.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, finding how it's your superpower, as well as being like, okay, you know. Okay, well, talk to us about an upper limit, because I know this is a term coined in Gay Hendricks' The Big Leap book, which I'm a big fan of too. What does like can you even give an example of what an upper limit has looked like in your life or business, or kind of where you've seen that come for, you know, photographers and creatives?
Oh, for sure. So yeah, that upper limit is that term that he coined in his book. And he kind of proposes by, if you haven't read the book, for anybody who's listening, that we have this like sort of inbuilt limit for success and happiness that's like programmed from our childhood. And it's that ceiling of our comfort zone. So that idea that we all have like the thermostat setting that feels good in various areas of our life. And so once things sort of try to exceed that limit, like I was talking about before, like, oh my gosh, then our unconscious mind tries to self-sabotage us back down to this place of safety and comfort. And so it can really kind of show up in a lot of different ways, right? I mean, I see it show up for people all the time when they raise their prices, as I'm sure you do too. You know, you could have this upper limit of like, you know, well, I've always made this amount of money. And so if I want to make $200,000, that can seem really unsafe. And so all of a sudden, that's your upper limit, right? Like, so you know that you kind of have one when you start seeing these signs of the self-sabotage come in, right? Like
Yeah.
procrastination,
I see it in my re
distraction.
I see it in my relationship too. I mean, this like applies to everything, but I'll like start picking at my husband. I'm like, we have such a good relationship, but it's like my brain hasn't quite caught on to the fact that I deserve like a healthy, happy relationship. And so
Oh
things will
yeah.
just be a little too good. And I'm just like,
Oh, I
like
did that for years. I did that for years with my husband. And we've been married forever, but yes, I totally, because I had such an unhealthy view of relationships from childhood and then toxic relationships all through college. And so yeah, it's like, oh yeah, I am safe. This is safe. I am safe. This is safe. You know what I mean? It's like really that constant reminder. And you know, you and I always talk about this. It's basically like you want to just be the driver of the car, you know? And your unconscious mind is usually driving the car if left unchecked. Like, you know, it's just going to kind of, and it always kind of just takes you on the anxiety highway, right? Like just catastrophize everything. And so it's really just about you telling it to get in the back seat or the trunk or just kick it out of the car, whatever you got to do. But being that driver of you know, your life. And I've definitely, you know, like you said, it can show up in a lot of different ways. It showed up for me for sure when it came to money. And I didn't even think I had like money issues. Like I really, it wasn't until I had to learn how to price myself appropriately, you know, because again, I fell into this photography thing and I was like, all of a sudden, my business just exploded because no one was doing this and everybody wanted, because I was shooting very like editorial from the beginning. My first senior shoot in 2007, I took girls out to a cafe and we shot in a cafe. Like I was doing lifestyle, like before people were doing it, nobody knew what this was. And all of a sudden, it was just like flooded with business. And I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, I have no idea. And pretty soon, like you've seen, I'm sure a lot that I have too, is that I was just working myself to death 24/7 and running myself into the ground. So when I got training, when I realized early on, okay, I've got to learn this whole business thing. Man, did that upper limit like show up fierce for me. It was like, yeah. I wanted to throw up before I used to go into my IPS sessions, like literally physically ill. And now it's my favorite thing. It's like my absolute favorite thing to do because I'm serving my clients in such a cool way. But I had to do a lot of work on that. I had to reframe that for sure.
Totally. Totally. Do you like, I even remember certain numbers that I hit, even whether it was per booking or my gross revenue number, where I just had not even conceptualized making more than that. And I got to that number and then was like, how can I burn this down? You know, like
yes.
I was so uncomfortable with it inside, you know, my brain was like,
yeah,
great. I like to travel. I like nice things, you know, but like my insides was like, no, you're not safe. You're not safe.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's that fear of success really, right? You know, we kind of hear it spoken about in that way a lot, like, but that's really what it is. It's this upper limit. You're hitting this upper limit and your unconscious is perceiving it as super unsafe because you've never done it before. And so, you know, your unconscious mind learns by experience. And once you have the experience, then you can find proof that it exists. But we will find proof of whatever we're looking for. And so if you're wired to look for the bad, you're going to find the bad and vice versa. But what's cool about the unconscious mind is that we can teach it. We can, you know, we have this ability as humans to create our own experience. That's why you got to be a little delusional, because we can create an experience that we haven't had yet. And if we believe it and we feel it and we really get it in our body, then our unconscious mind thinks it did happen. And then we can get to it really fast. So that's the cool part of like sort of like moving through that upper limit and all of that stuff. But it can show up really like dramatically for some people, like you said, especially when it comes to hitting that mark. And you're like, oh, okay. Because a lot of us have been programmed with things like money is evil, or, you know, wealthy people are rude, or, you know, whatever it is, like whatever your parents basically taught you, even if they didn't mean to, right? Even if they didn't say those words, we would infer certain things about the way that they treated people with money, right? Like I wasn't, you know, definitely programmed to not like people with money. That's why I didn't think I had money issues. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, but it's tied to my worth. And that's a whole different story, because we tend to equate worth with money. And so if you didn't feel worthy as a child in whatever way, right? If there was a parent that wasn't present, or you never felt seen or heard or whatever, you probably are going to equate that with money as an adult. Like, I don't really deserve to make this. And so there's, you know, there's a lot to sort of wade through in
totally. That. This is a sidebar too. We haven't talked about this before you hopped on, but like, I've just been mulling over the idea too. Were you raised in purity culture at all? I feel like all women at some...
Almost.
Yeah. It's like
I was raised very Catholic, so that's okay. Even worse.
Yeah, like even just being a woman in the West, I feel like you were exposed to, you know, everyone was exposed to the shame or whatever. But I was mm-hmm. in this really strict religious area too, and it was like, what was a good thing for me? It was like to cover my shoulders and never get attention and never talk to boys and never put myself in a place where, you know, I'm attracting attention. And that's so antithetical to everything that helps you have a successful business.
Ugh,
you know,
you are just like that. That is a topic I'm so passionate about too. And it shows up all the time. It's so tied to codependency, because as women, we are primed for codependency. We are taught unconsciously by our codependent mothers who didn't mean to be codependent, that's just what we do. Right? We do everything for everybody else and we wear it like a badge of honor. And, you know, then we reach our 30s or whatever, and we're having kids and we're trying to build a business and we're like, I want to burn it all down. Like, I don't want any of this anymore.
This isn't fun
and
anymore.
So, yeah, it is. It's very, very tied to all of that, especially you're right. Like as women, it is something, and it can show up in so many different ways like that. And that shame and, you know, basically, like you said, covering your shoulders, like basically being responsible for everyone else's happiness. Like, God forbid you shine your light. God forbid you show up and actually take up some space. No.
Right.
So I'm so glad. Like, I have a daughter and she's 23, and, you know, I have twins that are 23 and my older son is 25, but I'm so, so glad that she is growing up in a world where that is getting destroyed. Because, like, and I was that mom when they were in high school. Like, they went to a very hippy dippy charter school because that's who I am as a parent. But, you know, they didn't really have dress codes. But if they were, I was always like, no, you can wear whatever you want. Like, you're not responsible for, you know, just because the boys can't think. Are you kidding me? No. But I'm really glad that that they are seeing different examples, really, and kind of like crumbling that generational trauma.
Totally. I agree. Okay, so let's talk about overcoming this upper limit. So essentially, if we're in this comfort zone of, you know, and whether it's this belief that I can't ever make more than my husband, or I can't ever make more than I did with my full-time job, or whatever. And we call it out and we're like, hey, that's upper limit. Let's work on it. What are some ways we can like actively help our subconscious overcome these blocks?
Yeah. Well, so I do really believe that first step is really important, is like owning it. Right? Like, you gotta see it. It's just like anxiety. And I am like one of those people I've had anxiety my whole life. And so one of the main things with that, and with this as well, I believe, is that, you know, the longer you ignore it or run away from it, the bigger and more scary it's going to get. So that first step is really like identifying, like, if you feel like you've got these triggers and you're finding yourself stuck in a loop of, you know, all of those different things like we were talking about, or, you know, not feeling like you can reach a certain thing, not all of these different things. And they can also show up in other ways, like comparing yourself constantly, procrastination, all of those little symptoms, right, of something not in alignment. So I really do think that first step is really kind of owning it and just getting real about it and coming from it from a very neutral space, because we're so supercharged with emotion about it. But we want to just get, we want to get neutral. Like, don't even think about getting excited yet. Just get neutral. You know what I mean? Like, going from like where you are, fear-based about it, to like feeling amazing, that's too big of a jump, right? Like, you just got to think about it one or two steps at a time. So getting to this neutral space where you can view it and say, yep, that's what I got going on. Okay, so that's interesting. That's something I always tell my students. I'm like, that's interesting. You know, like, not really having a big emotion about it. And that will enable you to get that perspective, you know? And so most of the time I found that to get to that neutral space, you do have to put in some work, some practices to strengthen that muscle. And there's so many different ways you could do this. There's so many different modalities, and a lot of, you know, what works for one person may or may not work exactly for the other. But there's a reason why meditation is so talked about, because it allows you to become a neutral observer of your life. And the big thing that I hear from creatives all the time, especially with our overactive brains, is like, oh my God, I can't, you know, I can't make my brain focus on that. Well, you're not supposed to. That's the whole point, right? Like, let yourself off the hook, first of all, because perfectionism, another thing that goes along with all this, you know, like, we feel like, oh, if I can't do it perfect, I'm not going to do it at all. Okay. Well, you're not supposed to know how to do it because you've never really done it. Just allow yourself to experiment with it and just be, and allow your thoughts to come and go. But meditation is really powerful. I'm a really big believer in hypnosis because I'm certified in hypnosis. And I think that hypnosis is kind of, is a fast track to your unconscious mind, because in hypnosis, whether you're working with a practitioner in person on Zoom, or if you're listening to tracks, because I basically create tracks for people, and I'm speaking to your unconscious mind, basically. And so, you know, when you think about hypnosis, everybody kind of has like their own maybe connotation about it, their own ideas about what they've been taught. But really, going into trance is a really natural state for most of us. Like, most of us just go through, I mean, have you ever driven a car and gotten to somewhere and not remembered how you got there? That's,
yeah.
You know, like, it's kind of our natural state to want to do that. And so when you can do it intentionally, with a focus on rewiring something with that unconscious mind. And it's all about, again, because it doesn't hear negatives. Your unconscious mind doesn't hear negatives. So it's really important to speak to it in the affirmative and positive. So I think hypnosis can be a really, really powerful way to bust through that upper limit. I've had coaching students tell me, like, not even really kind of believing in it, but they've just said, okay, I'm going to commit to at least just listening to this every night, you know. And the cool thing about hypnosis is that you don't have to do anything. You're not really supposed to listen. You're just supposed to just relax. You can't be driving a car. Don't do that. But, you know, you could be editing photos. Like, a lot of my clients will just be editing photos because, you know, we kind of go in a trance sometimes when we're editing photos. I know I do, autopilot. And then they were like, after a couple of weeks, they're like, all of a sudden, it doesn't feel so big. It just doesn't feel so big anymore. And I'm like, that's where we want to be. And so it's just like anything else, just like going to the gym, you got to strengthen that muscle. You got to commit to the work. You do have to take some action. You know, somatic therapy is a really awesome thing too. Getting into your body, even just moving your body. So journaling, mantra writing. I'm really big on mantras because I really feel like, you know, affirmations are great, but unless you're going to get it into your body, unless you're actually going to really integrate it into your physical being, it's not going to really do what we need it to do. But yeah. Those are just, I could go on and on, but that,
I love
that's
those.
What I think.
I want to dig into them a little bit more too, but yeah. I recently have done some self-hypnosis too. Mm-hmm. I think I used to think it was so scary. It was like someone taking over you or whatever. And I have some control issues, some past trauma, you know, things like that. And really it's just meditation, right? And I've been so surprised because I hadn't really pictured my brain in these two parts of like kind of more the ego of what I think I'm supposed to want, what everyone says I should do, what I externally want. And then kind of this like deeper part of what is my, you know, you could say your heart or your soul or like what,
yeah,
what the deeper part of you really want. And a lot of times it's different and it kind of that, like your intuition versus your, like the like fear or the trigger. And sometimes they sound the same when you're not quite attuned to it or whatever. So I've had a lot of fun with self-hypnosis too, and seen it like break through some old things that I really believed, that like, I wasn't quite getting there just with like thinking, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Absolutely. Well, that's the thing, is that most of us creatives, like I said before, we are very prone to overthinking. Like, I mean, I think a lot of people are, but from what I've seen, like when we get stuck up here, I mean, that's just the danger zone. It just really is. It's not a great place to be because you don't really make great decisions there. And that's where we tend to stick in fight or flight. We get stuck in that loop of fight or flight. And then everything gets used to it. Like then it becomes a habit and your body gets used to the chemicals. And like, so there's a chemistry part. There's so many different moving pieces to this, but your unconscious mind, when you've been living in fight or flight, especially those people who do have big, big traumas, right? This is not to diminish any of that, because there are so many people who are dealing with really big things. It's really important to understand that, you know, your nervous system really does believe you're being chased. It really does believe that there is imminent danger at any moment when you try and break out of this, right? And it's just like, I always liken it to, I don't know if you had this experience or anybody out there listening does, but when my kids were little, so especially with my oldest who has autism, we went through a lot of behavioral psychological therapy when he was younger. And, you know, trying to sort of like break some of the behaviorals. And I already had a degree in it, so I was very primed for it. Like, I understand it all, but it's really hard to implement as a parent, to implement these like boundaries and things with your kids, whether it's like, you know, being a neutral. And they always say, like, just be neutral. Do not give them a big, big emotion. Like when you're, you know, disciplining your child, you want to like extinguish a behavior, right? You just kind of be calm. And, you know, they always say it's going to get worse before it gets better, right? It's called benign neglect. And it's so hard, but it's the same thing, because soon enough, you just, you just kind of don't give in. You don't give in. You're kind, you know, you're compassionate boundaries. And then they stop. They stop trying to vie for the attention or whatever it is, right? And you extinguish the behavior. It's the same thing with your unconscious mind. I always tell my clients, you kind of have to think about your unconscious mind like a 7-year-old child, because it basically is you at seven or younger.
Yeah, that's such a good parallel.
It's gonna resist at first, just like that child does. It's gonna be like, absolutely not, we're not doing this. And it's gonna scream and yell and, you know, freak out or whatever it is. And it's your job to then, you know, that's why they call it reparenting yourself, right? Because when you can do this inner child work in that way, it's really powerful. Now, some people can't get there yet. Like I always say that there's different stages to this. So some of my clients, they really need to sort of view their unconscious mind as someone that they don't really want to love on right now. And so they have to give it a name. They personify it with someone that they don't like, you know, like one of my clients, she's like, I'm going to give her the name Susan, because I really don't like that name. I'm like, okay. She's like, Susan, go to hell, whatever. You know what I mean? Like she has, you know, you can create these tactics, but I do truly believe that the ultimate sort of goal, and when we can really make the most work, like the most change through that work, is when we view it in a loving way as that 7-year-old child, when you can really embrace that little you and say, I got this now. I got it. I totally get it. You did not have control. You did not, you know, understand all of that stuff that you were just soaking in, but I do. And I got this. We're safe. I know this feels really like unsafe, but I'm good. We're good. I literally have said that out loud to myself multiple times in my closet. So I encourage you guys to do that.
Well, I think that example with your son is so beautiful too, because like when I'm assuming when he's in a tantrum, or when like any of our children have a hard behavior or whatever, just being, you're not trying to move the vehicle forward. You're not trying to be like, let's go accomplish these things. Let's do homework. Let's do, you know, you're not trying to like accomplish anything positive in that moment. You're just trying to like be there and be understanding for what they're going through. And then me, like I just had a little kid tantrum in my brain this weekend, you know, and I'm like, you lazy, you know, like, why aren't you working harder? Why can't you just get it together? You know, like, I'm like, we just need to be like, go on a walk, Kristen, have some soup. Like, here's how we can just treat yourself like a little baby that needs like a cuddle, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I try to remind myself that too, of like, stop trying to go from tantrum to like, you know, acing the test all in the same moment.
Absolutely. We are so hard on ourselves. Like, oh my God. And we know how to crack that whip really good. Right. And so especially that's where that perfectionism and all that stuff comes up. And, you know, like I said, it's really hard to go from that place to being like, I got this, you know, living, you know, your best life, whatever it is. But you can look at it as like one step at a time, or like one client or two clients at a time, right? Like, so it's really hard to imagine, for instance, going from making, you know, very little to high six figures, but you can chunk it up. You can look at it one or two clients at a time and serving them as best as you can, because soon enough, then it becomes that snowball effect, because you just start creating it. And the more you do, again, the more proof you're going to find of it around you. And so that's how you build it. You have to think about it. And I think that we are so all or none, like, oh my gosh, like it's black or white, all or none. If I can't be perfect, I'm not going to try it at all, whatever it is. Give yourself a, you know, some grace. And like you said, go for a walk, have some soup, do what you need to do. Treat yourself with kindness, like literally view yourself as 7-year-old you. And how would you like someone else to treat her? Right. And do that yourself.
Yeah, I know that running a business for sure is a lesson in self-compassion and inner child work.
Yes, it is. Yes. It's not for the faint of heart. That is for sure. It's a very brave decision.
When it does come to, you know, every entrepreneur wants to make these big financial jumps, do you find that doing this work helps that happen faster. Because like everyone could get there, trial and error over years and years and years, you know, moving towards the same goal. But there's again that big mental piece. Does the timeline collapse when people spend a good amount of time in their mindset like this?
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't even have to take that long, right? Like, that's really the cool part. And I think that that's what a lot of people have this perception of. They think that it's going to take them this long journey of uncovering all the things. But honestly, like, it can happen very quickly. It can happen so quickly. It's really about that level of commitment, right? So like, taking the action, because again, if you're stuck in a loop of like, why does this never happen to me? Like very victim related, which is codependent, by the way, side note, but it all is tied together, you know, like why me? Why can't I just get to this or whatever? That's the frequency. Like we're going to get a little woo here, but like that's the frequency you are emitting. That is the broadband, like the radio signal that you are putting out. And so that's exactly what you're going to get right back, because that's just how the universe works. That's just how energetics work. So whatever you hold on tightly to, right? If you're like holding on so tight and you need to control it, you need to like this, or I need this client to, you know, they better be a $3,000 client or whatever it is, right? You know, you're going to just get that back, that angst, that need, that, you know, all of that. So a big part of all of this is the letting go. And that's the hardest part. The letting go, when you get to that place of release, I release my need for control over it. I release my need for it to happen, whatever. That is the hardest part for us to get to, but the most important piece of it, because that's when things open up. Like literally, I believe truly that the key, the meaning of life, like we always hear that, right? I really believe the meaning of life is letting go. Like it is just a series of letting go over and over and over again. And if you're a parent, you definitely understand that, because oh my God, the older they get and the more you have to let go, the harder it is, but the more expansive and amazing it can be, right? So it's the same thing with our business, right? Letting go, like having a clear vision, getting the clarity, knowing what you want, really having the intention of like, yes, that's what I want. Because you can't go anywhere that you don't know where you're going. You have to have your eye on some prize, right? So having that clarity and then letting go of the how
yeah,
to get there is so, so, so important. That's when you can collapse time.
Totally.
100%.
I want to know what you think about this, because I think about letting go a lot. I think it also is like you create these tiny narrow paths of how you think something's going to come to you, or what package you think it's going to come to you in. And I think that's one way we try to control things and don't let go. You know, like, okay, Renee, now that we're besties, I have a matchmaking side hobby that all the listeners of this podcast know about. I have a whole business built out that I am not running because I already run too many businesses.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I know what I would do if I was going to run a matchmaking business. And I was telling a friend this because I just made a match for her and they went on a great first date. And she was like, what's your experiment like? How's this going? I'm like, you know, the people that it's easiest to matchmake are the ones that are open to meeting someone great. And it doesn't matter exactly what package they come in, you know, like you're not telling me they have to be 6'5" and they have to have brown hair and they have to, you know, X, Y, Z, this, you know. And so I feel like the letting go too isn't just like whatever happens, happens. It's like it's letting go of the idea that something has to come to you in exactly this form. I don't know. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. No, I totally follow you. Yeah. And that's so cool. But as a side note, just that you're doing that, I think that's so fun. but I think that for sure we have to be like I think we have to have an idea of what we want, you know, because you really do sort of, you get whatever you're putting out. You don't like get what you want. You get like who you are, basically. Right.
Yeah.
Like, and so, you know, it's about matching the energy more of what you want than, than like being so rigid about it. So yeah, I do think that there's like, okay, yes, specifically, like if you're talking about like the business that you want, let's just say, for example, right? Like I want, you know, within 12 to 24 months, you know, I want to be making $250,000 a year, whatever it is, like having a goal and having that, you know, drive you forward and pull you toward it. I do think it's important to have that beacon to put that out, right? But then letting go of how you're going to get it. That's the thing, right? So like we get really, really, really tied up in the how. Like that's really what like stumps people. And that's why they stop. They're like, well, I don't know how, so I'm just going to stop. And really, it's just about trusting. You can call it a lot of things. Some people call it faith, but it's really about just trusting that the universe has your back and that you, your higher self also knows what's best for you. Like you, your intuition is also guiding you and trusting that that next step will appear, right? So something I have written on a sticky note that I look at all the time is what's the next right step? Because we get so far ahead of ourselves that we feel like, you know, that's when you shut down, especially those of us with, you know, creative brains, because it's too big. It's too much. My other son has severe ADHD. So this is something I learned when he was really little. Like we had to chunk things down. Like he could, like he would just shut down. If you showed him the whole project, he'd be like, ah, it's never going to get done. Like I'm out of here. And so we had to be like, wait, here's the first step. And then, you know, that's just kind of how he had to approach his learning. And he still does it in college. We can do that too, right? What's the next right step? And so I do think that we have to have an idea. We have to have something to pull us toward it. But then yes, okay. I talk to people about that all the time as far as like money. Well, money can show up to you in any way. Like you just have to let go of like how it's going to come, right? When you start doing this kind of like money manifestation work and all of this, like it's energetic and you're spending time in energetics and you could just get money. Like people could just send you a gift card as a thank you for doing a great job for something, or you could get a refund check that you had no idea, or a client that you've been chasing for 2 years could finally pay you, whatever it is. Like be open to the possibility, be open to possibilities, because that's where like the good stuff happens, right? And so yeah, especially in that world that you're talking about, you gotta like sort of be open, you know?
Yeah, totally. No, I hear you. Sometimes I think like, oh, it has to come through this one wedding booking or whatever. And then a check comes as a surprise tip from a client or whatever. So yeah, I love what you're saying. I would love to hear, do you have a favorite story of something that you manifested or something that like came to you when you didn't expect it?
Oh, I think I probably have a lot. I feel like I definitely still fall prey to this, right? Like, so that's also something to remember is like, even though I have like really good daily habits of, okay, I'm not going to wake up and just start consuming stuff. I'm going to control my morning. I put in the work and I've been doing this for a really long time. And I still have triggers. I still have moments where I'm like, we're going to be homeless. You know what I mean? Like,
isn't that crazy? That's where our brains go. I'm like, there's so many steps between where
literally.
I am being homeless and I still do that too.
My husband is like, are you after all this time? And he just knows. He's like, but that's part of my anxiety brain too. Like, so I have the anxiety brain, you know, and all of this other stuff. And so when it all kind of like comes together in a perfect storm and the astrology is not good, who knows what's going to happen, right? Like, you know, whatever. So yeah, it definitely can still get really big and really, really hard. But it was like a few years ago. This kind of story is, I think, relevant to your audience and, you know, us as photographers and stuff as especially. But I had run a senior rep team for years and years, and I run it in a very specific way. And I love doing it. But as my coaching business grew, obviously something had to give, right? And so I decided to sort of like ease out of that and ease more into coaching. I did it over the course of like 2 years. And I still teach people how to run their senior teams because I do believe that there's a way to do it that's very Gen Z centric. So I'm really still in that world with the photographers I work with, but I myself, I'm not running a team right now. And so I recently, not recently, but during that time, I had a couple of clients reach out to me because they know, like, that's what I do. Like, they're in my world. And they're like, oh, you know, so-and-so, my daughter is very, you know, she can't wait to be on your team. And I was like, okay, well, what am I going to do here? Right? Like, you know, like, I really want to continue to serve them. I want to offer something to them, but I also don't want to take on a team. I don't want to go through all of the work that's, you know, because it's a lot of work. So I said, okay, I'm just going to let this go. I'm going to sit on this for a minute. I didn't respond right away. You know, I literally had like two people reach out to me within the course of like a handful of days. So I told them, I will get back to you. I responded to them, but I didn't respond with like an answer yet. Cause I was like, let me just think about this for a second. Let me just kind of see what comes in. And I have to like, I'm the kind of person where I can't force myself to come up with something. I have to go for a walk. I have to let it go. Like, I really believe that, and I think this is part of my human design. I don't know if you know your human design or not, yeah, or you're into that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have an open head center. So like, I can't just be like, we're going to figure this out right now. It's not going to happen. So I know that I have to let go, right? I got to let go of some of it. So I kind of let it go and I decided, okay, and I like to ask myself a lot of questions. That's another really powerful thing you can do for your unconscious mind. I'm trained in NLP and that's one of the things that, you know, they teach us there, but anybody can do it. It's when you ask yourself the right questions, your unconscious mind is going to automatically try and answer them. Right. So, you know, I always ask myself every morning, I have it actually written on my wall. It says, I wonder what magic and miracles can show up today. Cause it's like, oh, I wonder, you know, I wonder who I'm going to meet. I wonder what's going to happen. And so I kept asking myself this question of, well, I wonder what it would look like if I could offer something like that, but on a smaller basis. I wonder if that feels good to me because I'm really big on, cause I'm a generator. And since I learned about my human design, I'm like, a no is a no. Right? If it's a no, I'm going to honor the no. That's a really big thing in my world. So I was like, but this doesn't feel like a no. It does feel like this could be fun, but I wonder what's there. So I let it ponder. I went on lots of walks and then literally it drops in. And I'm like, what if I just do like a little VIP program for them? And it's like, I just offer it to like up to five people only. And it's basically a team. And I priced it even higher than my team. Like I priced it way higher than, you know, I felt comfortable doing, but I knew that that's what I needed to make for it, to have it be profitable and to give them the kind of experience that they wanted, which was multiple sessions throughout their senior year. And I sold them like immediately. It was like an immediate yes for these people. And so it was like, not only did I do well, like monetarily with that, but I was able to like challenge myself and do something different and fun. And that's kind of cool after you've been doing this for so long. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of fun to break it up and be like, oh, I've never done that before. I wonder how this is going to go. And it was fun. So yeah.
I love that. That is so fun. I love that you were like, took a moment, took the walk, let the idea just like come to you. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really, really like grateful that I learned that when I did, because I spent a long time pushing. I spent a really long time like trying to force things to come in and to happen and to, you know, and I was like, no, man, if I just let it go, it's going to happen. It's going to come in. It'll come. So yeah.
Well, I know that you use mantras and kind of recording mm-hmm. tools that people can do for themselves to help them with some of this too. Do you have any tips on like how to do that or what someone could do to create that for themselves?
Yeah. So I always like to walk people through and, you know, you guys can listen to this and like write it down later, but it's pretty easy because I created like a little acronym for it. So a mantra, I think mantras can be really, really powerful. Again, because you're speaking to your unconscious mind. And if you create the mantra in a way that the unconscious mind hears, right? So speaking things in the affirmative, et cetera. But mantras can be very potent. And it's something that you can do you can read every day, and you can, you know, record it and listen and that kind of stuff. So I really do.
Also, because we're probably accidentally reinforcing negative mantras to ourselves constantly, right?
Yeah.
Like, most of us have this. I have some tracks I say over and over to myself.
Yeah, that inner saboteur can be really loud sometimes, right? And so when you have a positive mantra to counteract it, yeah, it really, really helps. But the acronym that I use for like creating your mantra is FREE. So FREE, right? Mm-hmm. And so the F stands for feeling, because like we were talking about before, there has to be an actual feeling to it for it to work. You have to kind of get it into your being. So you want to elicit the feeling of what you desire, and you want to like really practice holding it in your awareness as you recite it, and like allowing yourself to really feel what that would feel like. What does that version of you feel like, right? Who is she? Like, what does she do? And like allowing yourself to, like, you can do this during meditation, you can journal about it, any of those kind of things. And you also really want to begin your, you know, you want to speak in the affirmative, and you want to speak from I. So like I, you know, blah, 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 right? So you want to speak from where you are, right? And then the R, I say, stands for rich. Because besides the fact that that word already elicits a feeling of abundance, it can, rich also can mean like robust, right? And having like high quality everything in life, just like, you know, richness of love and joy or whatever it is. Like there's just, there's power in words. So an effective mantra really will cover those bases for you. And should be kind of well thought out. So stay away from negative words like, I don't want this, or I don't, because all, you know what I mean? Like, so you have to be really careful about the words that you use. You want to use it in a positive way. So, you know, try to stay away from those negative connotations and the self-sabotaging stuff, right? The first E stands for energetic, because there has to be an energetic signature to it, meaning like the frequency of where you are, like, and where you want to be in the now, because you can create that now. You can create that future version of yourself now by feeling energetically what that feels like. And then the other E is easy. You got to make it easy, right? Because if it's not easy, you're not going to do it. That's the thing. Like if you make this super complicated. So you want to start with like writing 5 statements, and acknowledging where you are with a lot of positivity and gratitude. Gratitude is a gateway. So if you have a hard time coming up with any of this stuff, just start from a place of gratefulness, because it's a gateway into all of this other stuff. You know, so at least be grateful for the house you have, the food you have. Like get real granular with the gratitude if you're having a hard time getting to that step, right? Like we were talking about before, it can be really hard to go from here to here. Gratitude gets you there. So for example, like these statements, you can be writing things like, I am exactly where I'm supposed to be. My timing is perfect. That's a big one, because we always have this like perception of we think we should be further ahead or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. I am grateful for where I am today. I feel gratitude for what is showing up for me. You really want to be proclaiming, right, who you want to be, with specificity, but like we were talking about, also still being open to possibility. And so you kind of like want to at least have 5 statements. You don't have to make this very long. You know, I would say just kind of just start there. And again, like I don't overthink this. it's supposed to be, you know, easy and supposed to be, you know, organic. So just get something written down. It doesn't have to be a lot. And then choose like 3 positive emotions that you will choose to feel daily as you start to embody this mantra, right? So I feel deeply satisfied in all areas of my life. I am filled with love as I move throughout the day. I am in full expression of love in all areas of my life and the people that I surround myself with. And then you want to claim that. You want to like fully claim, you know, who this version of yourself you are creating. You want to claim that, like, I am worthy of the wealth that I desire. I am free. I am excited to experience this. And like we said before, that next step is to really surrender to it. I wonder what miracles are going to show up for me today. So once you sort of like get this structure and you can play with it, and it doesn't have to be exactly like this, it just finds like, I just find that it works really well. You can use this in all kinds of different ways. You can record it. You can record yourself just on your phone, you know, like just open your voice note and record yourself and listen to it every morning. It's really good to listen to this kind of stuff, even if it's not your own mantra, and even if you're doing something else. It's really good, as a side note, to do this as you're waking up, because you're still in theta. And so, you know, looking at your brain waves, you're coming out of like a deep, you know, delta waves. And then theta waves is where we kind of just want to be. Theta is creativity. Theta is flow. But we live in high beta most of the time. Like most of us just go from like delta waves to like panic. On the daily. You want to stay, you want to like kind of ease into that. And so a good time to listen to a mantra is to listen to it as you wake up, because you're just coming up. And then first of all, it's a great way to start your day. And again, if you make it short, it doesn't have to take you a long period of time. Some people like to journal instead. You could journal this you could write out the same statements every day. That could be your mantra. You don't have to say it to yourself. We all learn in different ways, right? So some of us are more auditory, some of us are more visual, some of us are more kinesthetic. So you just want to kind of put it into practice in the way that's going to be impactful for you to actually hear it, basically. But yeah, I think mantras can be really powerful.
Oh my gosh, I love this. I'm going to go record some now, because you know that I fall asleep with podcasts playing and I wake up to This American Life. And that's probably not good for my brain.
That's hilarious.
Just to recap, it was free. So feeling, which is like robust and covers all your bases, energetic, how the energy feels, ease and easy. And then starting with acknowledging where you are with positivity and gratitude is number one, proclaiming where you want to be, like the future self. Three, positive emotions that you feel daily, claiming it and surrendering to it. I love these steps. Beautiful.
Yeah.
What's your current mantra?
Oh, well, it kind of varies. I have one that I like to listen to mostly. I'm a big journaler too. I'm really a big journaler, but a lot of the stuff that I have in that, I have in mind, you know. And I'm kind of I'm in a weird space right now too. Like the last like 2 months that I'm kind of moving from one space to another, and I kind of don't know what's next. It's a really interesting time for me. Like I normally am really clear on like what's coming, what's next. And that's just not really kind of where I've been. And so honestly, right now I've been allowing myself to just sort of be. And so that's my mantra, is really focused on honoring that. And like your timing, you know, my timing is perfect. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. You know, and one of the things I say to myself all the time is, you know, the right people are going to show up at exactly the right time. You know, it's all about like timing right now for me, because I feel like I've kind of been on a trajectory for a while, and then all of a sudden it's getting like blurry. And I don't know, it could be like I'm 53, my kids are all grown. I've definitely at a different stage of my life. I've never been here before, and I'm just open to some possibilities right now. So that's kind of what I'm really focused on. Yeah.
That's beautiful. And I'm sure relatable to a lot of people too, that little messy middle. So.
Yeah. It's cool. It's okay.
So cool. And so inspiring to see all that you've created for yourself and your business and continue to create. So I appreciate so much you being on here and sharing it with our audience and encouraging people. And y'all, if you make a mantra or do any of this mindset work, please tag me and Renee so we can check it out. We're so excited to see if this is part of your journey too, because I know it's made such a big difference for me and also for you, Renee. So thank you so much for being here.
Of course. Thank you for having me. It's been so fun. Thank you.
Guys, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of the Dangerous Creatives Podcast. We're so thankful that we can deliver this awesome content to you each week, and we're so thankful for your support and that you keep showing up to listen. If you want to dive in a bit more, we have our membership that is open year-round. We just launched a couple challenges inside of it, the Money Mindset Challenge and the Vision Challenge, and those are things you can walk through at your own pace. They're super fun and easy to get through, and also really inspiring if you're trying to make moves in your business. We have a monthly call as part of that membership too. So you get to join for a year, have community, jump in with a bunch of creatives, and also walk through the curriculum together. So if you want more information on that, you can check out that and all of our other offerings at dangerschool.com. Thanks so much, and we'll see you soon. This episode was produced and edited by the lovely Jen Madigan Creative. Music for this episode was written and recorded by Chammy D. Thanks for being part of our Dangerous Creatives podcast community, and we'll see you again next time. Won't you get